Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Annie and Scott Powell, I'll Give a Reflection, and much more. Welcome to Life on the Rock. Tonight, our guests are Annie and Scott Powell. I caught up with them at the SEEK Conference in Salt Lake City. They're the founders of Camp Votiva. This is a camp for young people to come during the summers and do outdoor activities. It's in the heart of the Rocky Mountains in Colorado, and they do outdoor activities, and they also learn about the faith in a very demonstrated way. I'm now going to give a reflection from Salt Lake City. We have a beautiful mountain behind me, and the beauty of that mountain speaks to us of the beauty of God. It leads us to God. If I had a group of people here watching that, I think we would all fall in somewhat of a bit of silence, right? And just appreciating that beauty. It has a way of speaking to each one of us individually. It moves each of our hearts. And yet at the same time, it has a way of uniting us. Because we all have this response to this great value of creation, that we share in that together, that sharing and this response that beauty of nature generates in us, unites us. And that's so important today, I think, in the world, because there's so much isolation, there's so much alienation, so many people feel like they just don't fit in. And I think part of the problem is we can be locked away in our rooms in front of our screens and get in our own section of the internet, our own echo chamber of the internet, and just carve out the kind of entertainment and news and whatever we want to watch or listen to. And we can just seem to go get more and more isolated. I think appreciating the beauty of nature can have a way of helping to unite us and to help us feel a part of, help us to feel that, yes, we do fit in. We do belong in this great, beautiful world that God made for all of us. Well, Annie and Scott Powell, welcome to Life on the Rock. Again.
Thank you.
Thanks,
it's
Father.
Good to see you
it's been
again.
About 10 years.
Yeah.
And, it's been a bit, yeah.
So we're going to check in on you all with Camp Votiva. And tell us, where is it located first?
So we're just northwest of Boulder, just in the nestled in the mountains up there. And so it's not too far from civilization, but we're like on 1,200 pristine wilderness acres. And so an hour away, but you get to a totally different world.
Yeah, it's very cool. So we're in Colorado, right in the heart of the Rocky Mountains, and it's close enough that kids can fly into, and we have access to, you know, priests and seminarians and airport, but we're in the wilderness. I mean, you don't see another human being, you don't see another house or lights, and the stars are amazing. It is a full-blown wilderness experience.
Right, and it's aimed at middle school, high school kids age group, a summer program. You're handling like about 600 kids every summer, right? And a big part of it is you're weaving faith into this wilderness experience. And what is the connection there?
Yeah.
Well, we both grew up going to camps where we would have, you know, these really fun activities during the day, sometimes wilderness adventure type things, and sometimes just fun things you want to do in high school. Right. And then we would have like talks about Jesus at night. And that's great. But we really wanted something like with Camp Votiva to be fully integrated. We wanted the kids to come and like go rock climbing and learn about their faith while they're rock climbing and through their rock climbing experience, and go whitewater rafting and have it be so much more than just whitewater rafting, having it be something where like, gosh, like here I am in the water and I'm listening to my guide. That's like life. I've got to listen to my guide. God is my guide.
Right.
I've got to paddle with my brothers and my sisters in the body of Christ, because you know we really want to move together, and what I do matters. And so we really want the faith to be learned through these experiences.
Right.
And then we have kids, when they go home, they're like, gosh, you know, God is a part of every part of my life, not just the part where I'm praying, not just the part where I go to church on Sunday, but every part of my life God is a part of, and he's also teaching me something in each thing that I do.
Yeah, that's a great point. Just, the community aspect of it, sometimes we can just feel like it's just me and God and my religion. I'm hammering it out in the adoration chapel.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we're saved as a body, right?
Unite
one another. Yeah, there's the rafting, right? We all have to coordinate. We have guys steering in the back or whatever and taking instruction. Those are great points. And especially like rappelling.
Yeah.
That gets serious, doesn't this guy?
Yeah. I mean, we have. It's a funny thing. If you've never gone rock climbing, especially on like a real outdoor rock, you know, like not a climbing gym, it's an incredibly intimidating thing. You know, you're on this rock face. There's the weather. You're exposed to the elements. The systems we have, I mean, are ridiculously safe. It's actually funny that rock climbing is one of the safest things you can do in the world. We hear these stories about people who go with no ropes and no equipment, and I think that's dumb. But to actually be out there and be like, okay, I'm on this rope, I'm tied to this thing, someone's holding me down at the bottom, I'm trusting this little carabiner and this system and this rope, can I let go? And the lessons that you're actually able to learn through, this is what Annie meant about teaching, catechizing, evangelizing through these things. Jesus did this all the time. He loved to use mountains and rivers and parables about seeds and sowers and trees because he thought that was one of the best tools to teach us who we are, who God is, who we are in relationship. But man, that first moment that you actually have to let go of the rock and trust that the rope is going to hold me, this person down below is going to hold me, that, what an amazing metaphor to believing that maybe there's a God who will hold me as well.
I was a Boy Scout. We did rock climbing and stuff. And I just remember it's a temptation for everybody. You get frozen up there.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a classic preaching analogy. You'll let go, right?
Yeah.
And you find it's not that far a drop. But
well, and it's funny because you really, that's the moment. You can do the climb really all by yourself, unless you slip, in which case your belayer's right there and keeps that rope in tension. But it's the moment where you get to the top that you have to rely on your belayer. Like there's no way down except through relying on them.
Right.
So it's that moment of like, you got me? Are you sure you have me? Like, just triple checking, you totally have me? Okay, now I'm gonna let go.
And
that's that moment, whether it's relying on God, trusting other people, like there's so much that can be learned and gleaned from that.
Yeah, and that is so important in our faith. We can't do it alone. We need the help of others.
Yes.
I feel like God's constantly teaching me that lesson to trust Him, but also to get help from others.
Yes.
You know, to be
That's
open
right.
to that. Now, why Camp Voitio? Why is that name?
Oh, good question.
So Carol Wojtyła was the given name of Pope St. John Paul II, one of our heroes. And he was the Pope, you know, he was the Pope that all three of us kind of grew up with. That was what we knew. This monumental, larger-than-life figure. Even when I didn't really understand or really care about the faith, I grew up in Denver, or outside of Denver, and he came when I was in middle school or junior high. And I was like, holy cow, who is this guy? Like, I knew who the Pope was, and I knew it was a big deal. But then when he came to my hometown, and I saw hundreds of thousands of people show up, and I was like, this is
You were
important.
There.
I was
you,
there,
okay.
and I didn't know what I was doing, but I was there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And but it formed this little seed inside of me that said, there's something here. And the more we began to learn about him and kind of figure out who this guy was, and you know, he was an actor, he had a stage presence, he started these World Youth Days, he loved young people, but when you hear the story that he actually went through and living through the Nazi regime and then the communists and losing most of his family and then making it part of his mission to take young people, high school students, university students, into the mountains, into the wilderness where they were away from the lies of the world, the culture who was trying to deceive them about their true identity, and he would take them into the beauty of the mountains, the beauty of the wilderness, to let Jesus remind them of who they were. And we said, well, I mean, there are so many lies. It's a different time, it's a different circumstances, but the lies are the same. The evil one works the same. He uses different tactics. So we wanted to take the spirit of what he had done, his concern for young people, his awareness that this is the future of the church. It's not even the future of the church, that's a cliche. It's the present of the church. And we tell the people who come to camp, you are the now of the church. Jesus loves you now, the church cares about you, and you have a responsibility. And so to take people into the wilderness, into the mountains, into beauty, away, and I mean, Father, when we started this thing, you know, 20 years ago now, iPhones weren't a thing, social media wasn't a thing. I mean, their phones were around, but it was like the big clunky, you know, flip phones. To see now this world that our young people are surrounded by that is just virtualized and fake, and we're commodifying ourselves, and these lives that we're living completely detached from reality. to take a young person, and you know, their phones don't work at Camp Witiwa. They don't have access to these things. But that wasn't part of the pedagogy originally, but it's become this amazing, beautiful byproduct. Mm-hmm. It's not a byproduct anymore, but it was at the time, that we didn't realize how much young people needed to, I mean, we always knew that there were lies, but we didn't realize the lies would be following us around in our pockets 24/7, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Unescapable. Mm-hmm. And to go into the wilderness, into the mountains, to be unplugged from that, and to hear the voice of Jesus, to be surrounded, like you said, by a community of other people doing the same thing, a team of mentors, these college students and seminarians who love the faith, who want to walk with me and accompany me. I mean, it's been, God has done stuff through this program, this apostolate, that we would have never imagined or dreamed.
You know, I heard a, I think it was an old reflection by Cardinal Ratzinger, but he talked about if we're always living in the world of our own making, like we're here in downtown Salt Lake City. Yeah. And even today, as virtual screen world's even amped up, like, you know, nature is God's first book of Revelation.
That's right.
So mm-hmm. we need to get out there.
You can see the mountains. There they are. They're beautiful. They're right over there.
Yeah, so God, in that silence, he speaks to us. He reveals something about himself, his majesty, his power, but even his love and care for us to give us such a beautiful world. And Colorado is an extraordinary place. Mm-hmm. You know, the Rockies are just beautiful. So what kind of effect do you see on the kids, like unplugging them, bringing them out there? What's some of the things they say?
Well, first of all,
let me say they come from all over.
All over.
They do,
all over the country and the globe. We have quite a few international campers as well. I think the kids, well, one, they love it. I remember asking one of the girls, I said, what was it like for you to not have your phone all week? Was that hard? Was it difficult? And she said, no, it was awesome. She's like, because nobody had a phone. We just got to be together. We got to talk and laugh and just goof around and have these
campfires,
profound,
right?
And campfires and profound moments of prayer and profound, like, incredible, challenging, cool adventures that they feel so confident after because they've tried something hard and they've had level of successes. Mm. And so for them, they said they're craving real life, but they also want to like fit in and be with their peers. And so it's the fact that everybody is unplugged makes a huge difference, and they get to actually encounter real, authentic life. But what JP2 is this great quote that our very contact with nature has a deep restorative power, and I love that quote because I see it all the time. I see that restoration. I see for the guys and the girls in different ways, because we're just made so beautifully and uniquely different, but to be in that environment of the wilderness, to be really like, you wake up and you're with the sun, and you go to bed and the sun has gone down. You're like living the rhythms of nature, And you're hearing the birds and you're seeing the stars at night. And when it rains, you're like, wow, it's raining. We better, you know, create some shelter or go into base camp. But you're really with the beauty of the created world, and it's not like living in your own insulated environment where you don't even know if it's raining outside or if it's hot or it's cold because it's perfectly air conditioned or perfectly heated. And so the kids, they come alive in that. Yeah. You know, they come alive because of the beauty of the Catholic community and having so much beautiful prayer time and these great adventures. But I think they also come alive because they're just living in this very authentic experience in the wilderness.
Yeah, that's a great point about just a comfortable world. There's no kind of challenge. Mm-hmm. I was recording some videos. I went up into the mountains, tried to get in front of something beautiful and shoot a video.
Oh, cool.
And it was like in the 20s, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, by the end of it, I'm like, sure. But there was something that I would imagine for the boys, it's like, it's just a call of challenge.
Yeah.
We're gonna get up that cliff, we're gonna go up that mountain.
Yeah.
I'm gonna throw that rock as far as I can off the top.
No, you can't do that.
Okay, we gotta take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment with Annie and Scott Powell. Well, Scott, I wanted to ask you, Annie was telling me you often give a little talk in the morning. And we should say you are Dr. Scott Powell. I feel like I've seen you grow up on podcasts with your scripture scholarship that you have some great podcasts about on the Sunday readings and stuff. It's really helped me in my preaching. But what would be like a typical talk you would give to the young people?
So here's what I try to do. And this is, again, this is part of the whole pedagogy. We both grew up going to different kind of camps and programs, a lot in the Protestant world. And like Annie said, you know, I don't want to call it a bait and switch, but sometimes it was, you know, they entice you and you're like, well, you can go rock climbing and mountain biking and do all these cool things. And then like at night they tell you about Jesus, which is fine. That's perfectly fine. But what I try to do is just give brief reflections. I don't like even thinking about it, like giving big talks. Like I like giving talks, but I try to temper myself and give some reflections during breakfast in particular that will try to create a spark of a conversation later on. Because, you know, I can give a talk at breakfast, I can give a talk around the campfire, and that's fine, I like doing that. But it's when you're on the mountain, it's when you're climbing something, it's when you're on a raft, it's when you're in a van or a bus driving to a trailhead, that's when the organic conversations come up with these kids. And that's when they're with their college-age counselor, their mentor, and they're like, hey, this thing came up, or I was wondering about this, or what do you think about this teaching of the church? And so I try to sort of set the stage of like, hey, here's a couple things to think about for the day. You're going to be going rock climbing. You know, Jesus used this metaphor about rocks. He called Peter a rock. What do you think about that? We try to connect the spiritual life with the natural world. Really, everything that we do at Camp Wojtyła revolves around this concept that we call the four harmonies, that we were created to be in a relationship with God, a relationship with ourselves, a relationship with the people around us, and a relationship with the created order. So every talk is meant to kind of get you thinking about how do we live in integration. So much of the problem, I think, we see in our world, culturally, societally, sexually, it's a disintegration. Our spiritual lives don't match up with our physical lives, our bodies don't match up with our souls. What I feel out there doesn't feel right in here, and we live in a disintegration. So what we try to do at camp is encourage people to pray about and think about and try to see and receive a life that is integrated. When it's cold and I'm in the wilderness, I can put on a jacket. You talked about these challenges, especially for the young men. The challenges are real, but there's something so profoundly empowering about I'm cold, but I can deal with it. And I'm getting wet, but I can put on a raincoat. It's not that bad to have a challenge. And, you know, we all have these ideas in our head about, like, I'm going to do these amazing things. And most of us don't do anything. We live on Instagram or whatever. But to actually experience it, like, wow, I did this thing that I didn't know if I was strong enough to do that. And even if it's just, I've never slept away from home, and now I'm living in a tent, and it's cold, and there's a bug over there, but I made it through the night. Like, I slept okay, and it's all right. That's incredibly empowering. And so trying to encourage integration in these people's lives. But again, in a way that it's not about me, it's about these conversations arising organically on the rock, on the mountain, in the van, on the raft, in teepee time at night. Yeah. That's where the good stuff happens.
Incorporating them to the whole worldview.
But if they do have any question about the Bible, you're there to...
Let's go.
And
I love it.
Do they? I mean, they're like, Scott, come here. Yeah, they have so many good questions. Honestly, our young people have so many good questions right now.
And part of that, and it's not exhaustive, but, and this I think is unique to camps, our staff, our college staff, they spend 3 weeks with us before any students actually arrive. Because we want to create a really strong, tight-knit community. We want to form them well. There's a lot of hard skills, like wilderness medicine and mountaineering, that they need to learn. But we also want to just soak them in the culture of the church, to answer those questions, to have those conversations, so that when the kids come, it's a natural, it flows out of those things. So I try to spend so much time with the staff and try to answer those questions so that, again, when they organically come up, they're like, I we talked about this.
And y'all have adoration, right? Sometimes.
Absolutely.
Every morning.
Every morning. So y'all have reservation of Blessed Sacrament?
We do. We have a little chapel on the property that the bishop gave us a blessing for a number of years ago, which was a game changer to actually have the Blessed Sacrament up on site. So it's there. We have priests every week who come in and out and serve as chaplains. But even in those, like, you know, random days that we don't have a priest, we still have the Blessed Sacrament there that we can be with Jesus
so
all the time.
So every, like, week experience or 5 day, there'll be a priest some point in the week.
Okay. Whether it's our 6 day program or our 9 day programs, we'll have a priest. And often for the girl programs, most of the girl programs also have sisters. So that's a great blessing to us.
Are those sisters of life from,
I know you sometimes, have, sometimes.
We have all sorts, all different orders, which is awesome. The sisters of life, you typically
Nashville Dominicans.
So you fly them in and they,
It was a game changer. A number of years ago, we realized, like, wow, this is a real need for these gals to be able to sit down with a sister, a mentor.
It is so good for them because they're just doing regular life. Like, And the sisters, they're so fun and they're so adventurous. I mean, they will do the activities with the kids and they'll be like just hiking with them and climbing with them. And it's just great for the girls just to, you know, like have that mentorship and also to be like, wow, like maybe I could be a sister. Yeah.
Right.
And we've actually had a number of campers and past staff go on to religious vocations, whether it's, you know, joining an order. Mm-hmm. A lot of our girls have been really exploring a lot of orders lately. Mm-hmm. And then we have a lot of past counselors and campers who've gone into the seminary, a lot of the fellas. So, yeah, it's really beautiful because it becomes more normal and natural. You're like, I could do this. Like, that could be me someday. Yeah.
And the camp, you have counselors, sometimes volunteers, some paid staff. Tell us about like a typical counselor that would help you all.
Oh yeah, good question. So our counselors, we might get 200 applications in a season, and we hire 46 of them. So we really try to have like the best of the best Catholic leaders. Mm-hmm. So we want them to be really contagious in their faith. Yeah. Like really, like they love the Lord and they really believe in evangelization. If you say, oh, I just want to come out and have a summer in Colorado, we're like, that's nice, but you have to have a lot more to get hired. You know, just a heart for our young people, a heart to mentor, you know, that they really want to walk with our young people. They really want to like help them know the Lord in a beautiful way and in a way that will change their lives. Mm-hmm. So a counselor at Camp Voitua they're gonna love their faith, and they're gonna really love working with middle school and high school kids, and they're gonna really love sharing the Lord with them. And they're gonna love the integration of, you know, how we bring the Lord into every adventure, how we learn about who we are, who God is in every adventure. Right. And they're gonna really also love to challenge our young people, you know, help them to be the great leaders that they're called to be, the saints that they're called to be.
And you all are former Focus missionaries.
Yeah, we are,
You know what you're doing, what to look for. But thank you so much. It's great to connect with you all again.
Oh, it's great to see you.
It's so good to see you again.
Keep up the good work.
Yeah, we've got to see you out in Colorado one of these days.
I always enjoy talking to Annie and Scott Powell. I remember part of Annie's story is she had a powerful summer camp experience, I think in junior high or high school, and it never left her. And she really felt called by God to do that in the Catholic world. And they followed through. You know, they're married, they have children of their own, yet they've generously given themselves over to this project of Camp Voitua to introduce kids to the beauty of nature. Scott's a scripture scholar. You know, he could certainly talk about scripture and the Bible, and answer all their questions. And those very informal conversations he said on the show, that's where the real evangelization happens. And they're just people full of joy and love, and they care about the kids. And I think their witness is so powerful. I also like her point about when you're like rock climbing and you have somebody belaying you with a rope, you learn what trust means in a powerful way, right? Your life depends on this, right? That they do this well. And we have to trust God. We have to trust God. That's what He wants from us. And we also see the beauty and the splendor of God reflected in nature. That God has given us all this beauty around us, especially the beauty of Colorado. You can see it so clearly. God is revealing Himself, His power, His majesty. It stirs up in us gratitude for God. It stirs up in us this awe and appreciation for the power of God, that He's a loving Father for us. He cares enough about us to give us these good gifts that nourish us, that helps us to flourish as human beings. It gives us a break from all the screens we're around all the time. It gets us out of virtual reality and into the reality God has given to us to receive as a gift. Well, I'll send you to that vineyard with a blessing. May our Heavenly Father shine His face upon you. May He give you His peace. May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock.
See my Father and all my loved ones who gone on. I'm just going. Just go. Going over home. I know dark clouds will gather round me. I know my way is hard and steep. Just go.